We have now the great privilege of hearing God speak to us from Romans chapter 4. And so if you would turn there, Romans chapter 4. And we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 25, Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 1, this is the word of the living God, so give your attention now to it. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but as what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing on the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. Is this blessing then on the circumcised or on the uncircumcised also? For we say faith was credited to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it credited? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while uncircumcised, so that he might be the father of all who believed without being circumcised, that righteousness might be credited to them. And the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also follow in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had while uncircumcised. The promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be heir of the world was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise is nullified. For the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is also no violation. For this reason, it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, the father of many nations have I made you. In the presence of him whom he believed, even God who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. In hope against hope he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was also credited to him as righteousness. Now, not for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be credited, as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He who was delivered over because of our transgressions, and was raised because of our justification. And that is the word of the Lord. And what we learn here is what we've already heard. All have sinned. None of us are good enough. We have all broken the law. We've all failed to keep the covenant. Everyone deserves, therefore, the curse of God upon them. But the gift of God is in Jesus Christ, who has kept the law for you and the covenant for you. And we learned last time that you can be made right in God's sight. You can be justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Is there boasting? Chapter 3, verse 27. Is there boasting then? There's no boasting. For even that faith is a gift of God's grace to you who believe. It is not by works that you are justified, but by faith. So there's no boasting. Now, chapter 4, verse 2. If Abraham was justified by works, he wasn't. But if he was justified by works, he has something to boast about. But not even before God. But he wasn't justified by works, but by believing in God, by faith. And it was credited to him. Jesus' righteousness was credited to him by faith in him, in Jesus. Now, if Abraham had received it by works, this righteousness would have been what he earned, his wages. But Abraham believed, and he did not receive it by works. So Paul proves that Abraham was justified by faith, not works. Now, does Abraham's justification have anything to do with circumcision? Today we would ask, does our justification have anything to do with baptism? And the answer is no. We see that Abraham was justified. He was credited as righteous. He believed before he was circumcised. Some today would say that you are justified by your baptism. But that is not true, because it is the same. Baptism points to our faith, as circumcision points to faith, the faith that is sealed. And so the promise was a promise unto righteousness through faith. Not only was the promise given to Abraham, but even for our sakes also, it says to all who here who believe, you too will be credited with Jesus' righteousness. You too will be justified. And there is a promise here. There's a guarantee of the promise. The promise is talked about in verse 16. That you will be justified, you will receive the righteousness of Christ by faith. It is guaranteed to all descendants after Abraham. If you believe, just like circumcision, just like baptism pointed to. The promise, if you believe. And it wasn't only to his descendants, those after the law, but even the Gentiles, as there's this Jew and Gentile distinction going back and forth in the first few chapters here. He said even Abraham was a, verse 17, a father of many nations, not one nation, many nations. And so it's by faith that you can be of Abraham's offspring, as it talks about in Galatians, by faith. You are justified by faith. And the question might be, believe how? Believe in what? Those who believe in Him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over because of our transgressions, verse 25, but He was also raised for our justification. That is, His resurrection from the dead guarantees our justification. It guarantees life. And so, here we learn that it's not by works that one is justified or made right in the sight of God. It is by faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's pray now. Our Father, we do praise You for this clear word that You have given, not only here in chapter 4, but even in the end of chapter 3. That all of us here are sinners and we deserve the wrath of God forever, the curses of God that You even promised from the beginning of the Bible. That if we eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we would surely die. Die. And in Adam we have ate with Him. Lord, we thank You that we will learn that in Christ we can be made alive again. Live. Have eternal life. And even if we die physically, we will be raised from the dead because justification guarantees that. It secures that resurrection. It secures that justification. And so, Father, we thank You for the work of Your Son for us, on our behalf. And even that work that we deserved upon ourselves, the death on the cross, the sufferings of this life. Father, we thank you that Christ took those things, that especially at the cross, the sufferings, upon himself, that which we often call the passive obedience of Christ. And that perfect life he lived, the active obedience of Christ. And he, there is this substitution for those who believe the gospel by faith. That his active and passive righteousness is granted to us. And our death that we deserve, that cursed, wrath-filled, infinite death that we deserved, he took upon himself. So we thank you for that substitution, that atonement which was made for us. And this, what we often call the penal substitutionary atonement, a justification where we are declared, just like a judge declares, not guilty. We are declared not guilty before you. Not because of any works that we did. Not because we're good enough. Not because we did no wrong, but we did much wrong. And yet, Christ stands before you, the judge, and says, I will receive their punishment for them, that they might go free, and we are set free by faith. We are declared not guilty. We are declared righteous in your sight. Only for the righteousness of Jesus Christ alone. And it is not by baptism or circumcision that we are justified or made right in your sight. It's nothing, again, what we have done. But only by faith, which baptism points us to. And guarantees the promise that if we believe by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life and died on the cross, and rose for our justification, and we will be justified. We will be cleansed of our sin. We will be made white as snow. And so, Father, give us this great assurance. Or there are some, perhaps, here who struggle with assurance of salvation. We ask that you would grant assurance. That their assurance, our assurance, would be founded upon the promises that you make, even here in Romans 4. That you will give your Spirit to testify with ours and confirm to us the great and miraculous work that you have done in our hearts and souls. Father, we struggle with many things. We sin often still. And yet we still have that hope, even which we will learn in Zechariah this morning, that you will strengthen us, even to overcome these things. And you will cleanse us as far as the east is from the west, those who come and confess their sins, or cause us, enable us to repent and turn from them and turn unto you, the living God, unto Jesus, the bread of life, the resurrection and the life. Life is only found in him. Lord, enable us to believe that. Enable us to believe in you and what you have done for us. Help our unbelief. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.